This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. All right. Happy Friday, everybody. I can remember when I first started podcasting, like I would get fired up on Friday episodes because I was still like working the cubicle life. And I would be like jacked up about releasing an episode on Friday because I know how bad it sucks to sit in a cubicle or work in a factory line and how everybody looked forward to the weekends and shit like that. And I've got a little bit desensitized to that because I haven't really done that in almost 10 years now. So to all the people out there grinding, happy Friday. And we're going to have a really good conversation today. Today's guest is Mr. Brandon Adamski. How are we doing, dude?
What's going on, my man? I'm doing good. It's Friday. We love it.
Yep. All right. We're recording this on a Thursday, but we're acting like it's a Friday because we're releasing it on a Friday. Before we get into today's topic, everybody's probably seen the title of this episode already because you clicked on it. But, and we're gonna get into all that here fairly soon. But, why don't we start out by who you are and, what do you do for a living?
I'm just an average Joe, man. Michigan Warrior, weekend warrior hunter, right? I've just ate up with it. Like most, you know, most here in Michigan, I would say, like I said, my name's Brandon Dampsey. I'm 35 years old from Southwest Michigan here. I do the majority of my hunting and outdoor recreation here. I'm a firefighter paramedic by trade. So I work kind of a goofy schedule, which allows me a lot of time to do this type of stuff during the week, do my recreating during the week. And just kind of recently started our own podcast, the Buck Barn podcast. Deer hunting stories, strategies, and kind of just some BS sessions.
Yeah.
Conversations we have anyways, you know what I mean? So yeah. just like you, Dan, we love talking about deer hunting, anything related to deer hunting, anything related to the outdoors. Yeah. That's what's up.
That's cool, dude. Okay. I got to ask you a professional question.
What you got?
Dude, I know some guys who are paramedics and who are detectives and who are police officers and firefighters, and yep. They have seen some absolute crazy shit in the field. You got to tell me something crazy. Tell me something that I've never heard before.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just don't have a whole lot of anything. I don't have a whole lot that I can really talk about. Okay. You know, HIPAA gives us some stuff, that HIPAA laws or whatever, you know. Definitely seen some stuff, right? Like yeah. Everybody does, some pretty crazy stuff.
What's the biggest, how would I put this? What has been the biggest amputation that you've ever seen? On the job?
Probably nothing crazy though. I mean, just really? Like maybe like a couple of fingers or whatever.
Okay.
I guess there was an industrial accident we went to, that a arm got stuck in the press. I don't think it was an amputation though. It was still, yeah. It was still hold on. Just quite, you know, smashed or whatever, but
yeah. Okay. Dude, cause I've heard some guys, like I got a detective buddy who every time I hear another story from him, it's just like, I'm just like, you are living what my wife watches. Like, you know how the crime investigative shows, it's just like the biggest, it's not like so-and-so ran a stop sign and we got it on camera. We got to find who this guy is.
Right.
It's like, I just love, this is going to sound crazy. I love when I'm like maybe walking into the bedroom and she's laying in bed watching her show. And it's just like, the detective found semen mixed with the blood and the decapitated head was just like, and it's just like, holy shit, you watching? Right. What are you watching? And it's just, that's what she likes to watch, dude. That's crazy.
Dude, my wife's the same way. And I'll tell you what, that's, I don't fear many people in this world, but I fear my wife's knowledge of how to hide a crime, right?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. She's like, really, people just make their mistakes because they take their cell phone with them.
Right. Exactly. Like,
yeah. And then there's no other evidence except they made a call when they shouldn't have, or they got a cell tower ping or something, that. There's no other evidence. I'm like, oh shit, I'm screwed.
Same, man. Same.
Yeah. All right. So we got to talk a little bit about where you live in Michigan. Okay. Yep. And before we get into this whole pros and cons of this one buck rule thing that has, you know, has got a lot of momentum, both on social media and support from the actual people of Michigan. I do have to send a quick shout out to all of the partners, and I want to get into this real quick, that support the Nine Finger Chronicles. So if you're looking for a badass broadhead, go check out Wasp Archery. A lot of their heads are still manufactured in the United States. That's huge for me. WaspArchery.com, discount code NFC20. If you're looking for a turkey season's wrapping up, if you're looking for a red dot for your turkey shotgun or even your side piece, go ahead and check out vortexoptics.com. binoculars, range finders, spotting scopes, rifle scopes, red dots, all that stuff. They're like number one in optics. vortexoptics.com. code blue sense, real and synthetic deer urines, scent elimination products, the Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kit that I'm going to be putting out here in probably in early to mid June, freshening up my scrapes. CodeBlueSense.com, discount code NFC20 for 20% off. And then next on the list is Tacticam trail cameras or Reveal trail cameras. And if you want to check out here's what I'll say. Stay tuned for the latest drop in newer cameras and newer accessories from Reveal. They're coming fairly soon. So go to Tacticam.com/cameras and check out everything that they got. All right. That's how I make my money. Let's talk a little bit about Michigan. I kind of want to start at the very beginning. All right. Yep. Where did and how long ago did this snowball start to roll in Michigan where people were just started to bitch about things not being great in the state as far as deer hunting?
I think the majority of the complaining has been going on since the birth of like social media, right? Mm-hmm. It's like 2008, 9, whatever, whenever like Facebook started, right? I know ever since then I've been on a member of these, you know, One Buck Rule for Michigan and, you know, whatever, different advocacy groups, you know, looking for change, just any sort of change, right? It seems that the hunters of Michigan are fed up with the mismanagement of the DNR of our resource, right? I feel like in the past it's just been like blanket type of regulations, like, oh, like, you know, up until this year it's been, oh, 10 doe tags for everybody in the state of Michigan. It's like, okay, that's not applicable to everywhere. You know, you get up in the UP and you might not see a doe, right? You get down here in southern Michigan and I want 30 doe tags, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think feel like it's been, to answer your question, I feel like it's been kind of ramping up over the last, I would say, like 15 to 20 years, much kind of parallel with the social media platforms and people being able to voice their opinion to larger crowds, right? Before all that, you had to call everybody on a party line, you know, hooked to the wall. Yep. And that was only, you know, only get a few people to listen to you at that point. Right. So yeah, I feel like it's probably aligned with like social media and more media outreach.
Okay. I'm going to play a lot of devil's advocate today, and I'm sure you will as well.
Yeah.
You mentioned mismanagement by the DNR. Talk to me about what this mismanagement is in your opinion, and then also how that collides with a Michigan culture.
Yep.
And I'm removed from Michigan, right? Yeah, Michigan culture that is focused heavily on antlers and getting your buck for the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I listened to your episode with Parker, and that's what kind of struck this, right?
Yeah.
And you guys nailed it on the head, right? It's a cultural issue, right, for Michigan. Mm-hmm. one thing that we have here in Michigan is a huge tradition of hunters and you know, opening day and go get your buck, whatever buck that is, whether it's a button buck, spike horn, 6 point, whatever. You know, that's the old time culture that is kind of all over the place. My mind's going in a couple different directions. I want to talk to about this, but that's one of the cultural issues or cultures that we have here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And then the issue with that being it's just focused on bucks, right? So we're not shooting the does like we used to. And there's a lot of variables that go into that as well, right? With cost of doe tag, cost of access to ground around here. You know, I like to come out to Iowa, hunt public ground. The nearest public ground for me right now in the in southern lower Michigan right now is about 2 hours away, you know, or I could go 5 hours to Iowa. It's like my chances are better there. But the issue we have is, one, it's a buck-centric hunting mentality around here. And it's not like a mature buck-centric. It's just any buck-centric, yeah. Right? So that's kind of where it starts to come off the rails. Mm-hmm. Now, Michigan has the capability. The genetics are here, right? Yeah. They're just, the bucks aren't getting the opportunity to, one, get the age class on them, to develop and really show the potential. And then, two, we've got so many does that the social dynamic within the herds around here, the social pressure is so high. The does are hammering any of the, you know, on an ecological standpoint, the does are just overrunning the bucks and competing for the same food sources and, mm-hmm. and everything throughout, you know. So that's another issue, right? Like I said, there's a bunch of different variables here that really throw Michigan off course to be a big buck state, right? And we're just not there.
How many hunting licenses for deer are sold in Michigan every year? Do you happen to have that number?
I don't have that number on me right now. I know it's somewhere around like the 600,000, 500,000 or 600,000.
Yeah. I'm gonna look this up. How many deer hunters are in? Let's see here. Let's see. In recent seasons, Michigan has recorded around 530 to 550 active deer hunters, while the state has lost roughly 200,000 hunters over the past few decades.
Right.
So, it looks like it's stabilized and even slightly trending upward. So, like, yeah, right around that 600,000. Yeah, okay. pretty active. Yeah.
And I know COVID kind of had a little bit of, I mean, I think across the nation, COVID had a little bit of an increase, you know, kick on all that. So that kind of helped the stats a little bit. One thing, so like going back to like the buck centric idea or, you know, culture here in Michigan, it's noted that like 80% of hunters, statistically last year did not shoot an antlerless deer. And something like the last, like, I think it's 14 years. Michigan has only recorded 2 years in the last like 14 years that antlerless deer harvest outranked the antlered harvest. So every year we're taking more bucks than does, which is leading to the issue that we currently are having. So like hunters per square mile, right? We just talked about like 550,000 hunters in Michigan. On average, there's about 11 hunters per square mile here in Michigan.
Yeah. That blows my mind.
That's wild, right?
That's wild. That's
in
wild.
Iowa, it's 3 to 4.
Right.
According to internet statistics, right?
Right.
Which, you know, if you look at it, so what I did is like, okay, average wooded area per square mile in southern Michigan, there's about 130 to 140 acres of wooded area per square mile in southern Michigan, mm-hmm. right? That averages out to 11 acres per hunter.
And a section is 640 acres.
And
640 acres. So they're in southern Michigan. And where, in your opinion, does southern Michigan start?
in the Southern Michigan, in my opinion, is like below Grand Rapids.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Grand Rapids, pretty central.
So here, we're just looking at statistics here.
Yep.
And there's roughly, give or take, every single year in the state of Michigan, there's 60,000 deer collisions and with vehicles.
I believe that, man.
Cars are probably killing more does than hunters are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That blows my mind.
Yep. It's wild, huh?
Wow.
And you could see how that would happen, man, driving around here at dusk at any time. Well, heck, you're one of the statistics. Didn't you hit a deer when you came up here to hunt in Michigan?
Yeah, but I hit a buck, actually.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And it was the biggest buck I saw the entire time I was hunting in Michigan.
Oh, man.
So we have this culture that is heavily focused on bucks. Mm-hmm. We have the unwillingness to shoot does, right? Yep. And so now we start to see what happens. We've seen it. It's been a thing, right? But you know, hunters complain about everything.
Hunters are the biggest complainers.
We bitch about every single thing. Mm. If it affects us personally, we're going to bitch about it.
Right.
So there had to get some traction somewhere. Finally, someone said, enough of this bullshit.
Right.
Let's start putting our foot down. Let's start gathering the masses and let's start doing something about this. Where did that come from?
Josh from the One Buck from Michigan Facebook page, he's really rallied the troops here. He's done a great job at getting people active and activating, you know, the masses, which is great. You know what I mean? I think that the most active are probably like 20 to 30 year old hunters, you know, that are out there. They're active on social media. They're technologically advanced, where they're sending the emails, they're making the phone calls, they're doing the things they need to do to the representatives that they need to contact, right? They know how to bug people, right? but that's just like a small percentage of our overall, hunting population, right? However, that's the most vocal. So that's where this one buck, push kind of came from. But on the other hand of that, it also takes an NRC that's willing to listen and try to apply these changes.
Mm-hmm.
So in Michigan, our regulation changes go on in like every 3 years. They come up for different votes or whatever, for different applications or whatever. So 3 years ago, we finally got, you know, NRC commission or board that was able to listen to us. Okay. We need to shoot more does. We need to shoot more does. We got this January late antlerless, season implemented for 10 days, the first 10 days of January. That was great. It also came along with, so a normal doe tag in Michigan is $20. It also came along with a decreased rate of $5 per tag. Great. You want to influence shooting antlerless deer? That's the way to do it. Make the barrier to entry small and also make it after any sort of opportunity to shoot a buck, because now people aren't holding on to that buck tag waiting for Mr. Big to show up. They're ready to go out there for $5 and fill that freezer that they missed out on the rest of the season. That's the way to do it, in my opinion. Now they go ahead and eliminate that. All right. And then give you only one buck tag. So last year, everybody, you know, got an email from Chad Stewart, the Michigan DNR vocal or whatever, saying that, hey, you know, we need to, basically getting scolded for not shooting enough does. We need to shoot more does. We need to shoot more does. Okay. And then this year we take away another opportunity. What the hell? What's the goal here? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So anybody who hunts late season knows that there is a very small chance you're going to shoot a shed buck.
Absolutely.
Right? And depending on who you talk to, I've talked to a lot of guys who are late season hunters in Iowa that some big mature bucks get killed every single year in some standing bean field that somebody left up or a combine missed because they could not identify whether or not it was a buck or a doe. All right. Sure. So maybe just maybe, that rule was taken away, or that season was taken away. So like, okay, well, we want to preserve as many bucks as possible, and we are going to take it away. We're going to take this away too, because there's a chance that people are shooting shed bucks in this season, right?
Sure.
Was there a conversation about that at all? Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/chronicles and use NFC25 for 25% off your first order. Trollco. For the hardworking American.
Well, I think there was their reasoning for taking that away was because so in Michigan, we had used to be a muzzleloader season. 3 years ago, it changed to, I think it was 3 or 5 years ago, it changed to any firearm season down here in the lower peninsula, where any straight wall cartridge was fine to use in the muzzleloader season. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. Now that's just the late or second gun season. Well, now they shortened that from like a 10-day season down to just a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3-day season. So their reasoning was that, okay, well, we just opened up another week of antlerless season, so we can just take it away from January for whatever reason. That wasn't really specific to me. They didn't really hit on that, why to take away the January season. I do understand the, there's always going to be, a percentage of shed bucks that get mistaken for does. That's going to happen in January or in December as well. Yeah. You know, the thing that pisses me off the most, Dan, is like, I'm big on, like, I like to rally the troops. Let's get a bunch of guys around. Let's shoot a bunch of does at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And that's easier to do after the holidays, right? So the last few years we've had a blast doing it. You know, we call it the doe down. We'll do it on, you know, either once or twice a year. At a different property, you know, when you shoot some does, great. It's so hard to do that, in the 3 weeks leading up to Christmas, right? Because you know as well as I do, we got family stuff going on, whether it's the in-laws this weekend, we're celebrating, you know, the different Christmas on the next weekend, the extended family the following weekend. It's like, we're so busy, like, as you know, just family people, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it's hard to get that stuff scheduled in December, right?
Yeah.
That's my biggest complaint of the whole thing is, if we're trying to take more does, why are we removing opportunity? I keep coming back to that. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah.
It is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, dude, I come from a state where I have wholehearted trust in my Department of Natural Resources. Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to put myself into a position to understand why so many people are at a disagreement with the Department of Natural Resources as on how they manage their deer herd in the state of Michigan when the culture is driving the focus, right? So if I was a scientist and I said, hey, I know your answer, shoot more does.
Yeah.
Shoot more does and you'll have a more balanced sex ratio. You'll have less stress on your deer herd, blah, blah, blah. And what happens is nobody listened to that for several years for decades, right? Nobody, I got to get my buck. I got to get my buck. Now there's this rally. Right. And now people are probably going to start losing their elected positions if nothing is done to this, because now there's this outcry.
Yeah.
And so now we have people going, oh shit, we got to change something, or I'm not going to be governor next year, or I'm not going to be, you know, the state attorney. Well, I don't even know, right? Just I'm throwing shit out there. And so all these people are saying, we want change and we want it right now. And finally, the people at the Department of Natural Resources are going, all right, here's your change. $1, $1 in the state. Now, does this make sense? And the reason I'm asking this is multiple reasons here. Of the 550,000 hunters, roughly 600, let me see if I can't pull that stat back up. 6 to 10% of Michigan hunters harvest $2 every year. All right.
Right.
Now, that may sound like a low percentage, but it comes out to about 30 to 35,000 deer, $1,000.
Yep.
Okay. Even if you spread that across the entire lower, because like the way I look at it is the Upper Peninsula is something, it's a completely different environment. It's a completely
Canada.
Yeah. It's completely different than where everybody in the lower, you know, the lower part of Michigan is at.
Yeah.
And so you take 30,000 additional bucks back on the landscape every year. I can see how people would be willing to do, like, to be like, oh, okay, 30,000 more bucks are going to survive every year because of that.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot. Yeah. 30,000 across the entire, the entire state, right?
That's probably 50 or so per county, right? Which could be significant.
I don't know how many counties there are in there, but we also have to, we're looking at this and we're going, okay, here's the support. You want it. You got it. $1 rule into the mitten, the lower part of the state. You got it. Right. But there's also a group of people who potentially look at what has happened and says, you're removed an opportunity from me as well. Okay. Take conservation, herd management out of it. You've removed, because later next week, I'm going to record an interview with someone who is opposed to the $1 rule.
Awesome.
All right. And so talk to me a little bit about how this was balanced, how this was talked about, or was it just one big group of people who wanted bigger bucks on the landscape and they started bitching about it?
I think it's the latter. I think it's there's a big vocal group of people who wanted bigger bucks on the landscape, right? Mm-hmm. And so, bam, they're pushing it, and they're pushing it hard too. They're doing a great job. I won't take that from them. And I'll say I'm kind of half in that too. Like you said, I don't think $1 changes Michigan. You know, I don't think we see a huge difference on a landscape level immediately. Maybe 6, 8, 10 years down the line, maybe we see a good change, right? Mm-hmm. Along with that comes the cultural development of that $1 and let the younger ones pass and all that too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I've also, you know, I'm into taking new people out. I've got a son that I'll be taking out, you know, in a few years, right? Do I want him to have to watch that 4-pointer walk by when that's what gets him jacked up? Dude, if that 4-pointer gets you jacked up, I want you to take that opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. And I want you to be proud of it at the end of the day too. There's nothing more that that's disgusting in my mouth is like seeing somebody post a picture of a deer or helping somebody drag out a nice buck. And they're, he's just not quite as big as I thought he was. You know, I thought he was a little bit bigger. Oh, great. You know, respect what you do. I mean, you're the one pulling the trigger. Love what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To go back to your question, I think it's the larger vocal group that's out there that's pushing these changes, that's doing a great job doing it. And, you know, I don't know. I do see a benefit, right, to the $1. But I don't know. I feel both sides of the fence too. You know what I mean? Like,
how much public do you hunt every year in Michigan?
Zero.
Okay. That's a great answer. And here's why.
if you are a staunch supporter mm-hmm. of the one buck rule and you are a good hunter, but there's no quote unquote bigger bucks to hunt yep. because your neighborhood where you hunt doesn't have the same types of beliefs
right.
in what should be shot and what should not be shot every single year.
Yeah.
One way to fix that is to change the law.
Yep.
And now you're forcing people to do something that they don't want to do because of whatever, right? So let's say, I don't know, right? Let's say there's a gigantic, let's say you hunt 100 acres in Michigan, let's say,
yep.
and you hunt it. Well, all my big bucks get shot by the neighbors. We got to find a way to get older age class on the landscape. Okay. Meanwhile, your neighbor has 100 acres, but he's got grandkids. He's got sons. He holds a deer camp every year. And he's just because of the amount of people that are hunting his property, mm-hmm. more deer are getting shot every year. Right. And it's not about antlers to them. It's about fun. It's about the tradition. It's about right. getting out and spending time with family. Mm-hmm. And so I am having trouble understanding this because I feel like this is 100% driven by age class and antler size and not. Because here's okay, one buck in southern Michigan, awesome. You're 30,000 more deer are gonna survive. Sure. That doesn't mean the people who kill one deer are gonna kill. They're still gonna go out and shoot their four corns. That's yep. still gonna happen. But I don't understand why they just said, okay, you want to balance it? Let's go to earn a buck.
Yeah,
drop the one buck. You know, go to a one buck state, mm-hmm. and now you have earn a buck. That right. to me seems like the fast track to this.
Absolutely. And luckily they are doing an earn a buck pilot program mm-hmm. down here in zone 3 in southern Michigan. It's not completely laid out yet. We'll learn more yeah. in the July NRC meeting. But they're going to select a few counties in zone 3. Mm-hmm. They're going to run the pilot program for a few years. And then see the statistics, whether that did increase doe harvest or if it kind of stayed the same. Now, yeah. I don't know how they're going to judge that or how they're going to like look at the comparables, because the previous years, you know, going back are all two buck rule, you know, yeah. I mean, two yeah. buck rule. And now yeah. we're going to one buck and then the earn a buck program in these select counties. I don't know. I feel like you're changing too many things at once, right? Whenever you do any sort of scientific study, you change one variable at a time. You get where you can yep. know whether it worked or not, right?
Yep.
Now we got too many hands in the pot, mixing up too much stuff at once. I think the smart thing is go straight to the earn a buck. Mm-hmm. If you want to incentivize people that are buck centric to shoot a doe, make mm-hmm. them shoot another doe before they get, because that's what, 30,000 more does that get shot every year. If they want to earn that second buck.
If you want a second buck tag, yeah.
Right. And probably more than that. Because, I mean, I know, heck, I've bought a combo two buck tag every year that I've been able to, right? Mm-hmm. Do I fill it all? Do I fill them both all the time? No. But if I was required to shoot a doe before I got that second buck tag, you bet your ass I'm doing that in October. Mm-hmm. That way I have that second one in my pocket when I need it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is I've talked to people in the northern part of southern Michigan mm-hmm. who have lived through the antler point restriction in those counties where it has been implemented. And that it was like pulling a Band-Aid for people. People bitched and complained, you're taking opportunity away from me. But yeah. then they saw the results of the antler point restriction. Like within the next 3 or 4 years or whatever. And there was 100% bigger bucks on the landscape because of this antler point restriction.
Yeah, it's right? very well received up there.
Right, exactly. And so again, I look at an antler point restriction as a a more viable option than removing a second buck tag. You know what I mean? And this is just me thinking out loud at this point.
Sure.
And so, okay. Now we have to talk a little bit about the UP, right? Because now the UP, there's no change.
No change.
No changes. Of all the places in the entire state of Michigan where you feel, where I feel, and that's just from me talking to people from Michigan multiple times throughout the year, it seems that the place where the one buck rule would, if implemented, would have the biggest type of, see the best results would be in the UP,
sure.
Right? And so that second part of that, where there's no changes in the UP, doesn't make sense to me.
No, and you're absolutely right. You nailed it right there. The UP that could be struggling from year to year, depending on where the snow belt lines or whatever, where the harsh winters are between that and the wolves. Like, the deer have a lot of things going against them up there. Not as many vehicles, right? But still, I think if any of the state would benefit from it, it would be the UP, just to try to protect some of those, some of that herd. Mm-hmm. I don't know of many people that go up to the UP to hunt. There's a few. It used to be like the big thing, you know, my grandfather. Oh yeah. You know, deer camp up in UP, public land, all this. Well, it's just kind of went downhill ever since, all the predation has happened up there with the wolves and whatnot.
Yeah.
Between that and a couple harsh winters in a row, like, it really wipes stuff out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I'm also, this thought just popped into my head. Like, a guy who has the science, a guy who has the studies, a guy who, and don't get me wrong, a hunter who spends time in the woods gets to see a lot of what's going on in his very small environment that he gets to hunt, right? And so you got potentially 600,000 people giving their advice to one organization going, oh, dude, how dare you take away that second buck? I loved hunting my second buck. And then you got other people who are like, dude, take away the second buck, man. We got to have bigger bucks on the landscape, which doesn't seem to fix the problem of the skewed sex ratio.
Right.
Right. And so anyway, what else, what other things, because you guys got your way, or the pro one buck rule got their way.
We got change, and change is huge, right?
Yeah.
It changes huge, right? It's a start. It's something. I think we're going in the right direction here. Do I, like everybody said, there's no easy button. Like, there's not one thing to change that'll fix Michigan and all of a sudden Michigan's the new Iowa. That's not going to happen, right?
Right.
There's a lot of things that need to change, and it's going to take some time. It's going to take years, a decade or so, I think, to really kind of turn this around, as long as we can keep going in the direction. As well as I do, politics will switch this right around in 8 years if they feel like it, because the NRC is appointed by the governor, right? Right now we have a Democratic governor. And then the DNR is just the puppets of the governor, basically. Mm-hmm. They're just the enforcement group that has to do what the NRC decides they need to enforce, right?
Right.
Which is neither here nor there. So if, as long as we keep moving in this direction, I believe, I think we're going somewhere, right?
Yeah.
It's going to take some time.
Okay. Now I got to say, what if? Right. So 2027, this gets implemented, not this season, but next season. Right.
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 Yep.
It gets implemented. How many years do the pros, the people who support this, need in order to see a change, in order to see, like, because I keep coming back to the same argument, and that is, unless the culture of Michigan changes and you guys are dedicated to fixing the skewed sex ratio problem and shooting more does, then then the additional $30,000 on the landscape isn't really going to matter too much across the entire state.
Honestly, I think it's going to take 10 plus years, right? Because like I mentioned, the vocal group right now is that 20 to 30 year old hunter coming in. They've been watching YouTube their whole life. They think that they deserve a big buck because they saw everybody else on YouTube shooting big buck, right? That's not the case, right? Not everybody deserves a big buck. Let's make that clear. Put in the work. That's, you know, earn your buck, right? Or you know, earn a buck program, right? There you go. But I think it's going to take that, like I said, about 10 years, right? That 20 to 30 year age group. Now they're 30 to 40. They're raising kids and they're creating, they're, you know, building that, their culture in that next generation. I think that's what it takes. Honestly, I think it take 10 plus years.
And so we're talking about a cultural shift here. We're talking about the 60 year. So you're saying like the 50, 60 year olds who have lived it their whole life, they're just going to eventually fade away. And this new era of hunter is going to take over and change the culture in the state of Michigan.
I do think that. I mean, like my old man, my grandpa, right? My grandpa's passed now, but he was the same way. He's shooting the first two bucks that come along. You know, that way he could tell his wife, tell everybody in town, hey, I got my bucks. Yep. You know, he didn't.
What about your dad?
See, my dad's kind of, I've been able to get through to him over the past few years. He's in on one of the leases with me to where it's like, hey, Dad, maybe we don't shoot every small buck that comes along. Maybe, you know, whatever, do what makes you happy. I don't want to rain on your parade, but here's the trail cam pictures evidence like that this buck was 10 minutes behind the one you just shot, right? You know, things like that. That's been able to make some make a little bit of difference in him personally, but his peers, his generation, my uncles, I see the same thing. Like, man, guys are out there just shooting whatever they, you know, whatever comes along with antlers, because in their heyday back in the, whatever, the 80s or whatever, it was like, hey, we don't know what's in the woods. We, you know, they didn't have trail cameras. They were a hell of a lot better woodsmen than what we are now, I believe, probably. Yeah. But, they were just shooting whatever buck came along. Like I said, I think we're in that middle, that weird middle ground right now where we got a little bit of both, generations kind of in the mixing pot here, and both are pretty vocal. However, the younger generation just knows how to do it on their social media with technology, creating a bigger voice, reaching a lot more people, you know?
If this goes wrong, where does it go wrong?
I think if this goes wrong, it's going to go wrong in a couple spots. One, I think people just continue to only shoot their one buck that they're able to do. Or if, you know, I think where it goes wrong, people still don't shoot does just like they're doing now. No change is worse than negative change, right? If people don't start shooting more does, they've already done some very liberal crap over here in Ann Arbor with, whatever, doing some like banding, what do they call it? Where they cut the nuts off the deer. What am I trying to say? Whatever.
Like castration. So castrations, yeah.
Yep. So they're already doing some of that in Ann Arbor around that area. I think that is so inhumane, right? We have hunters here. Why aren't us as hunters managing this resource like we're supposed to? If we don't do it, they're going to step in and do more of this sharpshooting and other bull crap they tried to do with the CWD, which is a whole nother joke. but I do think we need to step up. We need to shoot more does. And if we do, get the opportunity at this Earn a Buck program in your county or in a county that you hunt in, you need to step up, shoot these does, show that this will work, right? This is the only way that this goes right. I think if we stay with one buck, I think we're screwed. I really do. I think it goes downhill. We really need to, take this one buck, shoot more does, and show that that some change is good change. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's see. I had a question that kind of just slipped me.
Sorry, I'm long-winded.
No, it's all good. God dang it. It was a good question too. You ever do that?
Dude, absolutely. I just screwed up.
It was a really good question. Give me a moment of silence so I can try to figure this out.
Well, I could speak on a little bit more going back to the...
I do. I just got it.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Did this whole thing come to fruition too fast, in your opinion?
Oh, I don't know if it was
really
too fast.
People bitched about it for decades, right? Whatever. But it really hasn't been, it's been 2 years, right? It's been roughly about 2 years of all of a sudden people get coming together and shouting at the DNR and giving their opinions and talking about whatever is, whatever needs to change. Yep. And then it happened.
Right.
Right. Do you think that there was a potential lack of planning on both sides when some of these laws were passed?
I think probably a little bit. I think we should have done a little more hunter survey type of things, right? But with that comes engagement, right? Most of the hunters, I would say, aren't engaging in the proper resources, right? It's only been, 3 years now, I think, that we've had to report our harvest. So before that, we're just guessing. As a DNR, we're just guessing with our regulations, right? So in the past 3 years, I think we've had to report, right?
Yep.
I've got these older generations telling me, oh, I'm not going to do that. That's just government overreach. They don't need to know what I do or whatever, blah, blah. It's like, no, report your harvest. Give them the accurate information so they can make accurate decisions, right? Otherwise, you're just bitching to bitch. Yep. So like, help them help you, right? That's my biggest thing is, people not wanting to, to report their harvest or whatever. And I know it was a little sketchy there. The first year we had to do it online and it wanted you to pinpoint where you shot this deer. And for good reason. Like, I understand why they want that, right? To get a little bit better grasp on maybe herd density or whatever. But they were talking about, Chad Stewart was talking about the first year they had like a few hundred deer that were like pinpointed in like the middle of Lake Erie or the North Pole. It's like, I know where at least four of those came from. That was me. I get it, but we need to report the harvest. We need to do what they're asking us to do, because that allows them to have accurate information to make these decisions, to actually make informed decisions. And that way we're not just guessing, shooting in the dark, you know?
Yeah. All right. What has been the argument from the people who are opposed to this?
I've heard a lot from a lot of local people, right? It's a lot of, so you got the local guys, right? They're hung up with this, man. They're into it just like you and I, right? They got maybe 1,000 acres leased up, right? Well, now instead of being able to take the $2 off of that 1,000 acres, now they're only taking one. Like, so yeah, that saves a lot of deer, but their opinion is, okay, well, if I'm only allowed to shoot $1, maybe I don't lease 1,000 acres. Maybe I only lease 500 of it. But then that opens it up to maybe say, 10 more people come in and lease the other 500. Now instead of $2 getting taken off of it, we got, whatever, $11 getting taken off of it with the $1 rule. That doesn't help me at all. And that's a real situation. That's a real thing around here, Dan, because you start posting a couple pictures of a big buck on your ground, people are getting on August. They're typing in Dan Johnson and wondering, hey, wonder where he's at. Wonder where he hunts. And I'm going to lease up that 5 acres right next to it because I know he's doing the right management, right?
Yeah.
That's a real thing around here. That absolutely does
that's
happen.
Every state. That's every state, dude.
That's one that I was really cautious about starting a podcast because of that reason. But you know what? I don't shoot anything special. I just shoot the average 130, 140 around here every year anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So some dude who's already practicing really good trigger control and has a big chunk of ground where he's able to manage and he's already shooting, maybe he's got, like you said, let's say he's leasing 1,000 acres.
Right.
He's passing great deer. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, all this work that he's put in over the years to manage his deer herd, now he's losing an opportunity as well. And all of that cost per buck, that math is now going to one deer instead of two, because now it's $1, right? And you get to choose how you want it, right? You can do archery or you can do firearm season. right?
Yeah, it's $1 throughout all the seasons. They're all universal. None of the tags are per season anymore. They're all universal. So there's no archery or gun. It's just all universal throughout all the seasons. And the way it's laid out is they weren't able to change the structure of the tags. You can still buy a single buck tag or you can buy a combo tag. The combo is just now a buck and a doe. If you buy a single buck tag that has a 3-point APR on it, if you buy the combo tag, which puts a buck and a doe tag in your pocket, that buck tag does not have any restrictions on it. That could be a spike. It doesn't matter. But I guess their thought process on that was, well, at that point, they're putting a doe tag in your pocket. So hopefully that'll influence.
You're going to take, you're motivated to shoot a doe because you bought a doe tag.
Right. So,
and if you're just buying a buck tag, so there is an APR, a statewide APR on that as well. If you just buy a buck tag.
Correct. If you're only out for a buck, it's going to have an APR on it. If you're out for a buck and a doe, the buck does not have an APR on it. That's the goofy part. Tell me how we're going to enforce this, right? Obviously on the tag, it'll say, you know, either restricted or non-restricted or whatever, but come on guys, like let's figure it out here.
Huh. Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. I can see why someone like it would be like in Iowa, if all of a sudden the state of Iowa said, okay, no more landowners tags.
Right.
Right. Like landowners, they get a huge benefit where I think it's if you own over 4 acres in the state of Iowa, you get a buck tag or you can get an additional buck tag.
Is that landowner tag? Is that transferable?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
This on the Buck Barn podcast where it was like, all right, why don't we go with a landowner tag like these other states have, right? That way that guy that leases up that 1,000 acres, maybe, you know, because it's not his if he's leasing it, right? So maybe we get a transferable landowner tag. Like, okay, now that'll kind of, it'll even out a little bit of the dispersal of the buck tag. But then again, I mean, there's issues.
You're selling like I said, bucks there's no at that easy point. One.
Right.
You transfer that to, let's say a guy like me goes, I want to shoot a big buck in Michigan.
Sure.
Some landowner goes, hey, we could check this trail camera out. I'll sell you my landowner's tag.
Yeah.
And then you're basically selling bucks like certain states are selling elk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess like, I never thought of it that way, but that makes sense.
Yeah. And then it just becomes extremely hoard out. Everything starts getting real dirty at that point. And then you got, you know, tags going to higher bidders and the highest bidder and things like that. And then it, you know, once again, the direction of going to a rich man sport that nobody wants to see that. Right.
Right.
Right. And so
unfortunately
that's just,
yeah. I see that point of view now. I wasn't really looking at it like that before just because, oh man, it's already hoard out. Everybody's got they know what land's going to lease for ground around here. Like I said, it's a very ag area around here. So, I mean, $50 to $100 an acre for a leased property is not outrageous anymore. It's kind of ridiculous. Yeah.
Was all this buzz, did it come from Southern Michigan? Or was it like, I don't see a bunch of youpers up there hooping and hollering about change per se, or where did this come from?
Yeah, I'm not sure if the youpers have got the internet access quite yet, but.
no offense. I know some guys up there. Some guys up there.
Now they got the Starlink. Now they're pretty connected. Yeah. But I think a lot of it is from this lower peninsula, I would say, as a whole, but like specifically that mid to southern lower peninsula where we're just overrun with deer, right? You get up in the northern lower peninsula, it's not as bad. I feel like it's a little more regulated as far as like, just the deer population overall, just because there's not as much ag field. You get north of GR, there's not as many ag fields up there as there are down here. So I feel like it's mostly, that southern lower peninsula.
Okay. The law takes effect in 2027.
Correct.
Going into the 2028 season, what do you hope happens out of all of this or the 2029 season after you've had 2 years of it or something like that? If you were to close your eyes and envision what the future looks like, what does it look like?
Well, going into the 2029 season, I'll say, if I was to live in my fantasy land with my eyes shut and my ears shut, and this is all happening perfectly and there's no glitches, I envision going into it, you know, at least this 40-acre property over here, and the guy that hunts the 3 10-acre parcels all the way, you know, on the either side of it, they have all passed $3. So there's whatever, $6 over the last 2 years that have made it, and now we're all chasing a little bit better age class of deer, right? Mm-hmm. And that's my fantasy land where nothing, there's no cars involved. The deer didn't go too far, get shot by a different neighbor or whatever. Because, I mean, the one thing that's way different over here, Dan, that we're dealing with is 40 acres is a big track. That's a big track of land, you know, for 100 to lease up, right? Yep. We're talking small acreages, right? Mm-hmm. So the per hunter capita really makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So maybe, just maybe, a handful of hunters every year. Mm-hmm. And when I say handful, I mean, you know, a handful of the 600,000 hunters, put whatever percent a handful equals,
right,
starts to shoot 2-year-olds in Michigan, or yep, starts to shoot an occasional 3-year-old. And do you think then that makes people happy?
I think it does. I think your average guy that shoots his year and a half old basket rack 8-pointer every year, because that's the biggest thing he's seen on his 10-acre plot, I think over a few years, they'll start to get more opportunity and maybe a bigger, you know, maybe another age class, maybe a 2.5-year-old 110-inch buck, right? I think that would make a lot of people just stoked, right? I think it's great for the guy that hunts the small permission piece on 10 acres or own piece on 10 acres, right? I think the guy that's been serious about it for years and has got 1,000 acres leased up, he hates it, you know?
Yeah.
But like I said, there's no way to make everybody happy, and not everybody deserves a big buck. But this is a we're in the right direction here, I think, with this $1 stuff, right? I think we'll be even further in the right direction if we can earn a buck and start incentivizing shooting more does.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna do some math. This just popped into my head here. Okay, so what did we say? A roughly 30,000 deer because of this rule,
right?
Roughly 30,000, 40 to 35.
Let's just be 35,000 yeah, deer per, you know, for that second tag.
Let's just say here, Michigan is made up of 62 million acres. Mm-hmm. Okay. But that doesn't count, like, that counts downtown Detroit and, right, you know, like all that stuff. Okay. Right, right. Our land mass while remaining. Agree. And some of that even is water. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't know how many acres are deer habitat, but let's just say, I don't even know how to say it. Other than, let's just take 62 million, 62 million divided by 35,000. Is that how it would be? No, it would be 35,000 divided by 62 million.
Yep. Right. Just a fraction.
Right. 35,000 divided by, let's just cut it in half and say, let's just somehow cut it in half and say there's only 30 million acres of deer habitat in the state of Michigan.
Right.
That still only increases like, that's not even one deer per acre.
Acre, right?
You know what I mean? That's like, so that's 0.0011 deer per acre.
So if you got 1,000 acres, you got one more deer.
Roughly.
So
you have one more buck. One more buck on your farm.
And that's per year, right? So
per year,
you go
yes,
10 years down the road. Now in 500 acres, you got what, you know, one more buck, and you go, you know, 20 years down the road. Now, you know, every, you know, so I could see long-term how that works in a perfect world. Right.
Yep.
And yep, I hope that
it would snowball for a handful of years. You still got to shoot the does, right?
Still got to shoot the does, man. Cause the bucks can't, you know, express all their genetic potential if they're not getting all the nutrients they need to do that. Right. Which, yep, brings me around to the whole other thing, you know, baiting or not baiting or whatever, mineral sites, whatever. We haven't been able to bait in whatever 5 or 10 years now, and like
still
that's here nor there.
But still, there's people baiting in Michigan, right?
Like, oh, absolutely! It's sold at every gas station, on every corner road, on every corner store. Like, people are doing it. People are getting busted left and right doing it because the DNR is also out here trespassing on their land to freaking enforce. But that's a whole nother thing. Open field doctrine. There's a lot of lawsuits going on with that right now as well.
Oh, dude, the Iowa DNR can come and check my freezer right now if they wanted to.
Which is
ridiculous.
They can
walk into my house.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Maybe a little bit. But if they catch you breaking the law, dude, like,
okay,
come on.
But like, that's just
I'm not afraid of laws like that because I'm not breaking the law.
No, me neither. But at the same time, I don't want an officer saying, hey, somebody else videotaped you driving 70 mile an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. So I'm going to show up and give you a ticket. Right. Yeah. Like, give me your probable cause. Right.
Yeah.
You got to have that to enforce any other laws. Why?
Right.
Why not? You know? So
you're right.
I mean, I don't know. I work directly with police officers and I like all of them. They're great people. Yeah. Not all are great people, but some of them are, most of them are all out for the common good, you know? And that's, you know, another change that we got coming up in the 2026 season is the elimination of the, rifle. We used to have a rifle line. So it was like US 10, which is, Big Rapids area. It's like central Michigan. South of that, you were not allowed to use high powered rifle. It had to be straight walled cartridges only. Well, now they removed that and they're putting, you know, any legal, centerfire rifles, you know, all good for, all the way down in the lower peninsula, which is which is a lot more populated than above that, which is, I think back in the '80s or seventies, whenever they enforced that, was kind of the reason behind that. I was talking to an officer in court just the other day, and he's like, you know, I've heard a lot of people being concerned about that. He's like, but over the last 10 years that he's been an officer, he's like, I've only went to one stray bullet, wound call, you know, in my whole career. He's like, I went to 6 dead bodies from car accidents just in the last year. He's like, clearly your chances of getting injured in a vehicle accident are way worse than some stray bullet from a high powered rifle, which I kind of agree with, you know, I think it'll work itself out, but
yeah, absolutely. Nothing's perfect. There's not one swipe of a pen that's going to make everybody happy. And I think that's what we've kind of learned here, but I will say this, I really do admire the hunters in Michigan who started to get the ball rolling on this because you're doing something. Right?
They've done an excellent job.
Bitching is done. The time for bitching and complaining is done.
Right.
It's time to move, and people started moving. So
strap up the work boots. Let's get moving.
Exactly. And I'm excited to see where this goes, and maybe Michigan can turn into a glorious state at some point.
I hope so.
Yep. Cool. Well, I tell you what, Brandon, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to day. Hopefully Michigan is starting to trend in the right direction. What was the name of your podcast again?
The Buck Barn Podcast. Look for, the little logo kind of looks like that. The Buck Barn Podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. We're just here to talk about deer hunting, man. We love this stuff.
Cool. All right, man. Well, I appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you when we talk to you, man.
Right on, Dan. Thank you.